this one. Let's get out of the judging business. Listen to Matthew 7, beginning in verse 1 to verse 5. Let's get out of the judging business. The Word of God says, do not judge. Do not judge. Or else, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank? Later translation say telephone pole. I don't know which translation that is, but it's accurate. You pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. How can you? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I like the theme of this workshop. I want to caution us that it is always an international soul-winning workshop, and we've always got to keep the evangelistic thrust on. But as my good brother Keith has said before, women have to get well to have babies, and the Church of our Lord has to get well before it can also have babies. And we've been sick. I don't mean to do us this way. I don't want to do us the way, because I love the sick lady that the Church of our Lord is, but we've been sick. And if you don't know we're sick, you're sicker than most. It is a known fact. This workshop's emphasis is God's people getting along. And it is a known fact that we don't do that well. Hardly any church in the world has more division than we. I don't want this to be a blasting sermon, but I want us to be aware of the disease, or else we'll not be interested in the cure. It's time we took a closer look at the words of our Jesus, who said, a new commandment I give you, love one another. Even as I have loved you, so you love one another. All men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. The way I have preached before and the way others have preached, we have said, all men will know you're my disciples if you... And there followed a long litmus test of our legalistic sort of issues that may well be important, but Jesus never said, you'll be known by your position of doctrine or your understanding of an issue or your understanding of who's in the family and who's not in the family. God said they'll know, and I want them to know, don't you? I want the world to know we're God's people. I want Tulsa. This is our town. We have the workshop for us. If it does you good, that's fine. But you come into Tulsa and you make an impression at Casa Bonita. You make an impression at the hotels and motels. And we want, when you leave here, we want all of the people to say, man, I've got to know more about those people. I don't know what they believe, but I've got to know more about them. They were some of the most loving people I've ever met in my life. Did you know that the workshop people here that run this thing, not us, not our people, the fairgrounds staff, and I put it in the words they put it in, and I take no offense to it at all, they say, we like your show better than any show we put on in a year. And hey, they put on some great shows. Now, I think you took that wrong. Now, listen to me carefully. They call everything out here, and they do some marvelous show. The IPE, the petroleum show is here, and auto racing. The other day they did a weather show in here, and there's ice capades, and there's everything imaginable goes on this property. And those that put on all of those things say, we love the International Soul Winning Workshop better than any show we put on in a year. And I think maybe we're getting the point with that. You don't find very many cigarette butts around here during this week. A few. But I mean, we love God's elders anyway, you know, and not very many beer bottles, you know. There are two things that are very clear in Scripture. Get this, because they're difficult ones. I don't have all the answers on this, but I believe if we could only work on doing the second of these, we've gotten the first one on pretty good. The Bible says very, extremely, clearly, two things. Number one, preach the Word. You can't get much clearer and stronger than that. And number two is, do not judge. So it is obvious, isn't it? It is obvious that if the Bible says, preach the Word and do not judge, it is obvious that there may be a delicate, but there is a definite difference between the two. And both of them must be done. And one of the great maladies among us that must be healed, and I believe at places like this we can help heal it, is to understand that the Word of God must be preached. Those that don't like what we're doing here think that we're not preaching the Word. And they say, they don't preach the Word. And accuse and all that kind of gear. And then the other side, you know, are off on the judging thing. But there's the Bible. Look, for example, let's stick on the first one because we need to be aware. In a brotherhood that's afraid, some of the brethren are afraid, we're leaving the truth, we're going to turn the church into a denomination. They fear what's happening, the trend and the direction of the church. They need to be reminded that those of us that stand in this pulpit, in this International Soul Winning Workshop, believe that the Word of God must be preached. All Scripture is God-breathed. Don't you like that? I'm a King James boy. Grew up on the King James, you know? And then the New International comes along with words like, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, it is, and it does, and that's marvelous. But then comes along the NIV and says, all Scripture is God-breathed. Right out of His innards, right out of His very being. The Word of God came because God Almighty breathed mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, soul-to-soul resuscitation into the lives of about 40 men. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Holy men of God spake as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. What marvelous verses. And the Word of God must be preached. And here's what we generally, collectively believe. I believe this is true of the generality of all of our brotherhood. And so we need, even if we disagree with somebody on an issue, we need to give benefit of the doubt that our brotherhood believes that the Word of God must be preached. And it is the inspired, infallible Word of God. We believe in Bible authority. God knows my heart. I would not do anything. I've been accused of a lot of things. But if God knows my heart, I'll give Bible authority for all I preach and do. And I still believe that with all of my heart. We believe that Jesus wrote what He wanted. And He wanted what He wrote. We believe we will stand before God one day and the books will be open. For Jesus said, if you reject Me and receive not my words, you have one that will judge you. The Word that I have spoken, the same will judge you in the last day. And in Revelation 20 and verse 12 and 13, John got a picture. It wasn't a vision or a dream. It was beam me up, Scotty, to the future. And John saw you and me there. He saw the scene that you and I will be a part of one day. You've been in this workshop scene. You haven't seen anything yet until you stand in that one. What'd you see, John? Spirit said, write it down. And John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened. That wasn't no library book, I'm going to tell you. That's the Word of God. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. And so Paul, and all of these verses that we're bringing to your attention, says to Timothy, old man's leaving, young man's coming along, and he turns to Timothy and says, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Because the time will come that people won't endure sound doctrine. You stick with it. And he says to the Galatian church, if anybody preaches anything other than the gospel we've preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. So the Word of God must be preached. And the essentials must not be compromised. But could I say to you, the essentials in the Bible are a mighty short list. And we need to rediscover. Not everything in the Bible is inessential, and that clears the sinuses of some people. Pick and choose? No, not pick and choose. But the Bible says marriage is not for everybody. That's what I mean. There isn't one rule on marriage. We all got to be married. We all got to be unmarried. There's room for difference here. And so we're saying that some things are essential and some are not. And we'll show that from the Word of God. Could we all acknowledge among us in churches of Christ, in all the restoration, could we at least acknowledge that all of us are committed to the book? I mean, say what you want about Marvin Phillips or Rubel Shelley or Jeff Walling or Randy Moody or Terry Rush or anybody else. Disagree with them. Say that I can't agree with this decision and that decision and this issue and that they preach. But I know those men to be committed to the Word of God. Can't we give one another that benefit of doubt? Not only are we committed to the book, but we're committed to the Christ who wrote it and died for it. Can we give others? And this was difficult for me. Can we give others? And I'm afraid to name them. But can we at least, see, we're not doing a thing except trying to quit doing what the Bible says stop doing, stop judging. Can we give all the other people, all the other preachers with whom we disagree and with whom we have convictions that their preaching is so different they may be lost, can we at least, listen to me carefully, give them benefit of doubt that they are sincerely trying to follow God in the Bible. You see, when the first time I heard that said, I thought, I know a bunch of preachers don't care two figs about the Bible. And that's judgmentalism. It doesn't look like that to me. I couldn't preach the things that they preach. I believe, according to what I believe, that that's false doctrine, but at least to help me in my attitude toward them, can I at least to everybody else, all the other preachers and all the other religious people in the world, can I give them benefit of the doubt that they are trying sincerely to follow God in the Bible? That doesn't mean they're right. It doesn't mean they're saved. But it will help your attitude. It will keep you from looking upon them as having horns. And we look at one another like that. And we need to stop it. Let's teach God's people. I don't think we're going to teach them. I'm screaming and hollering up here. I want it down there. You guys don't know what the workshop does to you. You get up here, you scream and holler and bite your earlobe off. I wanted to be down there where I could say, I'm very happy to have you here today. But you can't see me and we couldn't do it and here I am up here, so I'll bite my earlobe off and try real hard to sound nice. And then the Word of God says, judge not, that you be not judged. Would you please take point one first, preach the Word is an emphatic and must never be compromised with anything in the world. We must preach the Word. The Bible must be preached. It must be read. It must be studied. It must be respected and followed and preached. But having said that, just as definitely the Bible says, do not judge. Don't do it or else. And we do it anyway. I have done it and probably still do. I say that as a confession. I don't want to. I want to preach the Word. I want to be God's man. I wouldn't compromise the Word of God with anybody in the world. But I got to tell you, I want to pay attention to the other command of God, and that is get out of the judging business. So it seems to me that we must learn to preach the Word without judging. That we must learn to preach the Word of God without violating our conscience. That we must learn to preach the Word of God without building walls and drawing lines. Our God is perfectly capable of doing all of those that need doing. He doesn't need our help. We are not authorized, nor are we qualified to be the judge. Jesus is all the judge this world will ever need. God gave him authority to be the judge. John 4:24. When the Lord, the righteous judge. 2 Timothy 4 and verses 6 to 8. God will judge the world through the one appointed. And has given assurance in that He's raised Him from the dead. The one who is able to save and to destroy. There is only one lawgiver. And one judge. The one who is able to save and to destroy. But you, who are you? Who do you think you are, the Bible says, to judge your neighbor? James 4 and verse 12. Now, let's get into the problem of this, because it's a problem for all of us. I want to help. I hope I can help. So I hope you're listening carefully. And if you're in the audience to listen and find fault, God help you, you'll find what you're looking for. But I'm trying to get us to do what the Bible says so pointedly to do. Preach the word, do not judge. I think the problem that haunts us in the churches of Christ, and I'm old enough to have grown up in the church and know that, and I come by these roots naturally. But one of them is that we make every issue a salvation issue. I grew up believing that. I heard things like, on any issue, we can't both be right. One of us will be right. We may both be wrong, but we both can't be right. And we concluded from that, if one is, you can't go to heaven if you're wrong. And so on every issue, if we disagree, one of us is wrong, unscriptural, and lost. And that's not true. And we need to boldly face that and say that that's not true. We need to realize the weakness in our hermeneutic. We've heard so much about hermeneutics, and one brother said, I had an uncle that died of that. Took all kinds of shots and died anyway, you know. Hermeneutics is just the science of interpretation. How do we know what the Bible